It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic in Maryville. Dr. Drew Garwood offers patients eye exams, diagnosis, and treatment of eye injuries, as well as glasses and contact lenses. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And listeners, you know there's so much to celebrate regarding our region, Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV KRNW, hope you are enjoying the beauty of the fall season. And perhaps you will find time to visit the Missouri Arboretum here on campus. It is indeed in its full glory. I am pleased to welcome you to the October edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Dr. Becky Albright, Maryville R2 Superintendent. In segment two, we feature Bob Mahusky, Northwest's Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Gifts. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Dr. Becky Albright to All Things Northwest. Dr. Albright is in her second year serving as superintendent of the Maryville R2 School District. She is in her 11th year as a school superintendent. During 25 years in education, she's also served as middle school English teacher, basketball and track coach, an at-risk coordinator, assistant principal, middle school principal, and a high school principal. Dr. Albright graduated from Northwest Missouri State University in 1992 with a Bachelor's of Science in Education along with English and Science certifications. She currently belongs to the Maryville Optimist Club and Host Lions Club and is active in professional organizations, serving as the Vice President of Northwest Missouri Association of School Superintendents and a member of the Missouri-Kansas Superintendent Forum, as well as a member of the District Administration Leadership Institute. She's married to Quentin Albright, an educator and a coach. Their children include Gannon, a junior at Northwest, Gavin, a graduate of Northwest's Missouri Academy of Science, Mathematics, and Computing, and currently attending the University of Missouri, and Gage, a sophomore at Maryville High School. Becky, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, Dr. J. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's a pleasure. And, you know, getting a chance to get to know the Albright family, certainly you, and welcoming you to the community. It's been great to have your leadership. And as we look back, it's probably been, a quick couple of years here. But what's it like to serve as the superintendent and really be one of the key leaders here in our community?
It's great. It's a great fit for me. Like you said, I've been here just over a year, and it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but I couldn't really ask for any better transition. The people in the community have been extremely welcoming. I've really enjoyed all the just the progressive attitude of the community and the collaboration that's going on between the city and the university and our district. There's a lot of exciting things, and I'm really just thrilled to be a part of it all.
Well, and I remember we sat down and had a cup of coffee, you know, right when you got here. I know you had done a lot of pre-work there. That's why I say a couple of years. It probably seems that way, but you did a lot of pre-work. And then obviously getting in that first year and now into your second. And, you know, if people read some of your writing, your columns, your posts, and so on, you talk a lot about academic experiences, co-curricular experiences, students engaging, and the personnel at Maryville R2. What are the pride points that you'd like our listeners to take away with regard to, when I say take away, to really to think about, what are the pride points at Maryville R2?
Well, I think one of the pride points that we have is that we really do offer a well-rounded educational experience for kids. You know, we're not just about test scores. We're not just about athletics or academics. We try to get kids involved in a lot of things. You know, kids are really individuals. They have a lot of individual talents, and I think Maryville R2 is a very unique school in that it's small enough that everyone has a hometown feel and they know each other, but it's also large enough that it gives every kid a chance to be their own individual self. Whatever they're interested in, we have a program that they can be a part of and help them prepare for life after high school. So I think that's one of the things that we don't often talk about, but maybe one of the best things, that we really are well-rounded. We look at academics as more than just a test score. We look at it as, you know, attendance rate and what things kids are exposed to in our community, learning to serve the community. So I think that versatility and experiences to prepare them for adulthood is a great thing.
And that, you know, coincides quite well with Northwest Missouri State's mission, I might add, in terms of focusing on student success, every student every day, because you talk about Dr. Albright, every student is different and they're looking for something different, and whether their passion is math or theater or science or whatever the passions are, they also have passions in co-curricular, and so you have all of those offerings. And I know that you talk a lot about your staff, teaching staff, support staff, and being a pride point as well.
Right. We have a great staff, and our staff works hard from sun up to sundown. I mean, we're at school a few hours of the day, but most of those people work a lot of extra hours that others don't realize. Planning lessons, contributing, volunteering, giving kids opportunity outside the school day. We have a great staff. They're very proactive. They're always looking for training opportunities to develop their own craft as professionals. So I think they should be commended for that.
Without question. And obviously, you coming into the district and having, you know, served as a superintendent for a long time, and by the way, so many different roles, I mean, which I think obviously adds to, can I say, your street credibility, because you've been in the classroom, you've been a coach and so on. But as you think about the position of superintendent, how has that changed? I mean, not just in your 11 years, but as you look back over the last couple of decades, how has that leadership role changed in your eyes?
I think the role has changed from being maybe primarily CEO managerial to being a lot more involved in the day-to-day processes for kids and being more of an instructional leader. I think whenever I was a kid in school, my superintendent handled the budget and handled the buses and made sure that everything just functioned throughout the day. I think now superintendents are much more visible. They're out in the buildings and they visit classrooms and they're up on curriculum and they're knowledgeable about instructional practices. And I think that's really important to give kids a great school experience.
Very well said. And you mentioned the instructional experiences. I know that our listeners of All Things Northwest, we all have different experiences with regard to, you know, our K-12 years, higher education years, et cetera. But how have you seen teaching evolve over the years? Because it is different today, you know, for our sons and daughters to kind of go into the classroom.
It is really different from how it used to be. The main difference that I see is in days past, the teacher was the distributor of knowledge. The teacher was the expert in the content area. You know, he or she knew everything and then relayed that information to students. And often it was in a lecture type setting. The students sat and took notes and then, you know, regurgitated, if you will, that information. Now the teacher's role has really shifted to almost a facilitator. There are so many places kids can go to get information. Now I think the teacher's primary role is to get that student engaged and interested and then help them find information and lead them in ways to apply the information that they get. So instead of just handing it out, we're helping kids actually use it for skills and processes.
Boy, and you talk about an engagement, enjoyment, passion, and some of the ways that Mary Millar, too, is kind of bringing that engagement, passion, and so on is through a couple of capital construction projects we're going to talk about. So bottom line is you got a couple of completed projects, some current construction going on. I mean, our listeners know Eugene Field Expansion, Performing Arts Center. We'll call it PAC for short on this program. FEMA shelter, gymnasium construction, and then relocation of the high school weight room. So let's talk first about the Performing Arts Center, the PAC. I mean, what's that all about? What's happening with it? How are we doing?
That's maybe our most exciting project of all, just because it really does make the vision of a dedicated venue for the performing arts for our school. It makes that dream and vision a reality. And last month, our students started using that facility on a daily basis. They start using the entryway when they park out back and come into school. They're using it for class every day. So that's really exciting. It's a beautiful facility, and we're extremely proud of it.
Well, you know, for listeners of All Things Northwest, if you're familiar with Mary Millar too and you've seen it over the last couple of decades, boy, when you look back west all of a sudden, there's this huge structure, beautiful structure there. And the bottom line is it goes well with this $140 million worth of expansion throughout our community. And so when we talk about community expansion here in the Northwest Missouri region, the city of Maryville here in Nottoway County, you have to include what's happening at Mary Millar too. So talk about what's been involved or what's taking place in the PAC, and then we'll kind of talk about the building of it in a minute, but in terms of activities.
Okay. Well, our first official activity at the PAC will be an all-school musical, and that will begin on November 11th. In the meantime, we're using the PAC for classes, for all of our choir classes, vocal music, instrumental is performing in there sometimes. We do have stagecraft rooms for those classes as we add this to the curriculum a little further down the road. So it's getting a lot of use during the day for students. It's also getting some staff use for presentations. We have had two or three all staff, all district staff meetings. The facility seats right at 700 people. So when we have all 200 plus of our staff there, it makes a great venue for that, for presentations and work that we might do in a big group setting.
Like usual, it's one of those facilities that when you don't have it, you know, you say, gosh, we really could use that. When you get it, you say, how did we ever operate
That's
without
exactly
it, right?
Right. Yeah.
So Dr. Albright, if you can talk about local businesses, I know they were involved. How were they involved and who were they in terms of the PAC construction?
Well, when we opened the project, we took bids for a general contractor, and then that contractor went out and secured bids from subcontractors, and several of those were local people, which means when you walk into the PAC, the results that you're seeing are actually the hard work, skills, and talents of local people who live in our community, send kids to our school. The list of those is a little lengthy, but we would like to thank them. That would be Canaan Electric, Northwest Audio, Maryville Glass and Lock, Nelson Plumbing, American Electric, Midland Surveying, Lock, Sand, and Construction, Quality Restoration and Sealants, and Geist Heating and Air Conditioning. That's quite a list of people, and one thing I would like to say is that when we talked with our general contractor, they were so complimentary of the work that our local people did, and they had not worked with many of them before, but I think on future projects coming up, they have gone to those folks and asked them to put bids in for other projects as well. So that's kind of an exciting partnership to create.
Always good to hear, and then obviously community support. Mm-hmm. Impacted that PAC project as well.
Absolutely. Without the community being supportive and putting the vote through, the bond would not have passed and made it come to a reality. Also, the Lee and Nina Schneider family, we can't forget them. They've donated around $700,000 to the project, and that's funneled through the Maryville Educational Foundation, who's also been a key player in the process.
And for our listeners, maybe we can just mention Lee and Nina a bit, maybe describe their background a little bit, because it's prolific.
Right. They have been involved in Maryville's fine arts for a very long time. Ms. Schneider, unfortunately, just passed away not long ago, and so she was greatly involved in the process, the planning and the design and some of those discussions. We all regret that she's not going to be able to see the actual finished product.
Yeah, just an unbelievable couple and what they've provided. As you think about the PAC and the operation, the construction, I know that some people will ask, well, how's that going to impact the budget? And so how will it impact the budget?
Well, the construction of the PAC doesn't affect our budget very much moving forward, because we did pass the tax increase bond issue, which does extend our debt service payment into the future. And then we had donations as well. The really thing that will impact our budget moving forward will be the operational costs. Anything that we use to manage it, any additional equipment or supplies that we purchase for it, and just the day-to-day utilities, which, you know, to be honest, are substantial. When you're trying to heat and cool and light a 19,000-square-foot facility, those do add up. But we've known that for several years now, and, you know, we have planned forward.
That's very good. And so you mentioned the first big production in November. Music Man is the production?
That's right, the Music Man.
And what's the date?
It begins November 11th, and there will be 3 days of performance.
Okay. And then community uses? Can the community use it at all?
Well, we want the PAC to be used just as much as we can. And yes, the community, you know, they're helping pay for the facility. They're paying taxes. So yes, it's a collaborative process in getting it built, and we want them to be welcome and use that. And we do have board-approved policies that govern our building use, whether you're a not-for-profit or private industry. So we would have to follow those procedures. But yes, it is available for use.
And with regard to the open house and the kickoff of that, maybe describe that.
Okay, well, we have planned now an open house set for October 21st, and it is a Friday night, and it will be from 5 to 6:30 in the evening, and it will be really a come-and-go type event for the most part. We'll have some students who are involved in the fine arts there to give tours, answer questions. There will probably be some handouts or brochures with some background information on the facility, and we are working with the chamber to have a ribbon cutting at 6 p.m. that evening. And at that time, there will be a brief presentation and thank you to the people who helped make it possible.
Just so very exciting. We've had so many ribbon cuttings, and the bottom line is everybody you talk to, everybody that I've talked to, I will say that, has said, you know what, I heard it was going to be spectacular, but it's everything as billed. And is that what you're experiencing?
Thank you. That's been my experience. I hope everyone agrees. I think at night when you drive back and you see the lights on the facility, I think it's beautiful on the horizon. And then when you walk inside, you're not disappointed. It's right. A great facility.
In terms of the other facilities, Becky, as you think about Eugene Field expansion and the construction with regard to the FEMA shelter gymnasium and the relocation of the high school weight room, how are those projects?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was here last year, we were just breaking ground on the elementary, and now that's actually kind of old news. We've been using that since about Easter.
Done deal, right.
It is, yes. So that facility's open, and kids are using it, and it's made a big difference for them in lunch shifts and how we can organize our schedule through the day, and also uses after school for our GO program. So that's been great.
Forgot that we didn't have it, right?
I mean,
it's kind of in play.
Exactly. The FEMA facility is what we've started most recently. The actual erection of the concrete walls for the structure actually went a little ahead of schedule, which was great. We're hoping to be completed by April, and it looks like that may be possible. So we're very excited about that. Hopefully it will be done, and we'll be in there to use it before spring tornado season.
That's excellent. And the relocation of the high school weight room then?
Right. That's a little project that maybe a lot of people haven't heard about because we're just handling that in district. It's not a big ticket item that we've ran a bond issue for or anything like that. But right now, our advanced fit classes are held down in the multi-center. Students actually have to leave the main building, walk down across the parking lot, and we just feel like that's not a very safe environment. First of all, there's a lot of unstructured, unsupervised time. But then as well, just in the winter, they have to walk through in all the elements, icy roads, rain. So we'll be very excited to get those kids moved up to the main building. We took an area that used to be an industrial shop, and we've renovated with our own staff. Our maintenance crew has put together a new room and facility for that, and it's going to be very nice.
Well, listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We're talking to Dr. Becky Albright, Maryville R2 Superintendent. Dr. Albright, so many things happening academically, excellence, you know, in terms of the offerings that you described earlier, the co-curricular excellence, the ability to engage for students, and obviously a lot of capital projects that actually are old news in some ways and then progressing through. But as you think about the future for Maryville R2, now you've been here for a year, a little over a year, and you're kind of getting a picture of what's happening. What do you see kind of in the future and in the near term in terms of what you'd like to put together?
Well, we spent most of last year with a committee doing a lot of work, gathering information from stakeholders to put together a new strategic plan. Ours had been about 7 years old, and so it was time for a new one. And we just felt like it was a very great time as far as transition goes. I was new. This construction project is going to be ending soon. So where do we go from here? And I think one of the things that we're keying on right now is our curriculum. As you may or may not know, Missouri's Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed passed new learning standards that we will be held accountable for in the spring of 2018. So we are starting this year with a process to analyze our existing curriculum and bring it into alignment with those new standards. And that, of course, has a trickle-down effect to utilizing resources and purchasing supplemental materials. So we're really taking a step back from the construction in the upcoming year and looking at our academics.
Again, so much happening in the Maryville R2 School District, and Dr. Becky Albright, your leadership of the district, but certainly in the community, is so deeply appreciated. We thank you for what you do each and every day.
Well, thank you.
That's Dr. Becky Albright, Maryville R2 Superintendent, joining us here on All Things Northwest. When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Bob Mahosky. He's Northwest's Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Gifts. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. work. We're into health.com. Support for KAXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the October edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Bob Mahusky. Bob joined the Office of University Advancement in July of 2012 as the manager of annual giving. In 2014, Bob added to his duties and became the director of alumni relations and annual gifts. Bringing more than 10 years of annual giving and program development experience to Northwest, Bob previously worked at Missouri University of Science and Technology and for his alma mater at the University of South Dakota as the assistant director of annual giving. A native of South Dakota, Bob graduated with a bachelor's degree in alcohol and drug studies from the University of South Dakota. In 2015, Bob graduated from Northwest Missouri State University with his master's degree in higher education leadership. Bob is married to Katie, whom we met while in college. He enjoys watching football, spending time with family and friends, and of course, cheering his Bearcats on to victory. Bob, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. J.
Well, it's a pleasure. And let's talk about your role. You know, what are the roles of a director of alumni relations and annual gifts? What's that mean to our listeners?
Well, you know, I think part of the role has kind of what I do, the relations piece. Alumni relations activities is all about connecting Bearcats back with the university and with each other. We have a variety of different marquee events throughout the year that we stay busy with. One of them we just wrapped up recently, and that was the Alumni Awards Banquet. And that's a wonderful opportunity for the university and our alumni and friends and community to come together to really recognize some individuals who are doing some outstanding things for their communities, but also giving back to the university. We also have over 20 chapters that are spread out throughout the world. These chapters are alumni and friends of the institution. They have a very, very, very proud and respected admiration for the university, and they want to stay engaged, and this is the way they're doing that. We have a very active chapter in Des Moines and Kansas City and also in Omaha that keeps us really busy, but our chapters are a great way for our alumni and friends to stay connected if they're not in Maryville itself.
And you do annual gifts as well. Maybe talk a bit about that.
That's correct. So alumni can give back in many different forms. And so they can give back through their volunteer efforts. They can give back by just coming back to sporting events. But then also there's an opportunity for our alumni to give back with the monetary donation. We always have the saying in the call center when we call alumni that we really just want to get your participation this year. We want to get you involved now, and we want to keep you involved as the years go on. And it's great because we get to talk to so many wonderful people, and they really get to see how their dollars are helping the university in the end.
Well, Bob, you have an alumni association board. They have three kind of pillars, if you will, that really provides a focal for you and your team. So maybe talk a bit about the alumni association board and these three pillars.
Sure. So our pillars are mentor, connect, and promote. There's really not any order to those because they're all significant to us. But the first one is the connect piece. And that's really where we have our alumni chapters come into play. We want to make sure that our alumni, whether they're in Maryville or they're in California, that they're staying engaged with the institution and they have their outlets to do that. We have the mentor piece, which is actually something that's really just starting to grow here on campus. And we really have some strong buy-in from the university, thanks to your leadership and to Dr. Motte's leadership, our provost. As we progress throughout the year and in the future, advisory councils will become a focus of our efforts when we're trying to connect students with alumni. And we really see some great things coming with that. And then the promote piece, one of the things that the alumni board is really passionate about is making sure that we're promoting the institution on a variety of different fronts, but most importantly, that we're promoting it to future Bearcats. We want to make sure that we're helping drive enrollment and that we're helping recruit students who are going to come to Northwest, who are going to be a part of our culture, and who are really going to take in that family atmosphere that we have here. And our alumni board takes that very serious.
Well, and that alumni board, I've had a chance to interact with the board. So many great Bearcats there, led by Linda Place, who's the Alumni Association president this year. But talk about the board a bit and your interactions with them and their role.
Sure. So we have 18 members who are alumni, and we just recently added a student member this year. So we have 19 official members. But the alumni are from all over the place, our board members. They represent a variety of different years, majors, locations. But most importantly, these are individuals who have been active within their chapters. They've already set a precedence for their involvement within the university and for their passion for this great school. And so these are the individuals that we want to be standing collectively together to help us with those three pillars that we were just talking about.
And they do connect those alumni chapters that you talked about earlier on All Things Northwest here in this segment. And we're talking to Bob Mahofsky, who's the Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Giving here at Northwest Missouri State University. Bob, those chapters, what did you say, 20 total?
That's correct, 20 total.
And not just in the region, but they're really throughout the world.
Yep.
And we hear from Bearcats a lot. And actually, we held a Bearcat event out in the D.C. area last spring, I think it was. And I just know that Bearcats really, Dallas and out on the West Coast and over in Japan. I mean, there's just so many things going on out there across these
exactly
chapters.
Right. These chapters are a way for our Bearcats to continue to show their passion. That's one thing that I love about this institution is that once you attend this school and you graduate, that passion doesn't go away. And so these chapters are an outlet for that.
And when you talk about that passion and it doesn't go away, mm-hmm. I mean, the Alumni Awards banquet, the program itself where we honor alumni, it's a fabulous evening. It happens late September every year. So mm-hmm. we just had one recently. But talk about that night and,
sure.
you know, what goes into it, but obviously what people take away.
Sure. Well, it's a night that we recognize individuals for a variety of different awards. The night really starts with its planning efforts a year in advance. And so we are collecting nominations for each of our awards, which our alumni board reviews those, and then they select their recipient for each of those awards. From there, we connect with those recipients, and that's really where our job of engaging and building those relationships starts with those recipients. The majority of them already have a connection with the university, but some of them have been away for a while, and so this is our way to get them re-engaged with the school. And so there, we'll start telling them about the evening, making sure that they save the date, that they are aware that this is a very prestigious event here on campus, and they're invited to, you know, bring family members and to really celebrate the evening with the Bearcat community. Once everyone's there that evening, it's really just a fun event. We bring everyone together and we have a social hour before. There's picture taking. There's just a lot of good time shared by everyone that's there that evening. And then the program starts, and that's a fun program. It's a program filled with storytelling. It's a program filled with people sharing their accomplishments and how they're giving back to the institution. And honestly, when you walk out of there that evening, you have goosebumps. You feel very, very passionate and very strong. Wow, Northwest is producing some great individuals, and there's some great individuals that are giving back to this school. And for me anyway, it makes me want to get up a little earlier the next day because I know what we're doing here is a great thing.
Those addresses that I've heard over the years, they really are very special. Mm-hmm. They exude that Bearcat passion that you're talking about. So, Bob, here on All Things Northwest, a couple of areas to talk about. One is annual giving and gifting, mm-hmm. but also traveling with other Bearcats. So, listeners of All Things Northwest, if they might wish to gift to Northwest as an alumnus or as a friend, what are some of the ways they can do that?
Sure. So we usually try to send out direct mail appeals to the majority of our records that we have in our database. So be looking for the alumni magazine. There's an envelope in there that individuals can give back with a check, or they can give their credit card information. We also make our calls in the call center. We call them cat callers. And they've been doing those calls for a while now here on campus. And so it's kind of a tradition and people kind of expect those calls. We also do where they can, you know, definitely call the alumni house and they can let us know what they would like to give to. They can visit the university website and visit our giving link on the website where they can really, I guess, view some of the different designations that we have to offer and they can see what area appeals to them and what they want to support.
Well, and you talk about supporting. Another area of support is the touring Bearcats travel program, and maybe talk about Touring Bearcats and what we do and what we try to accomplish.
Sure. So the Touring Bearcats program has really been around for the 20 years or more so. And you know, traveling can be a little bit intimidating for some people, and we realize that. And we know people are going to take vacations anyhow. And so the Touring Bearcats program allows for Northwest graduates, parents, students, really anyone who has a connection with Northwest to tour whatever vacation location we're touring at the moment. This is a great way for Bearcats to, I guess, just really enjoy their trips. They don't have to worry about the planning. They don't have to worry about being at a certain location at a certain time. What's nice about our trips is that everything's planned for you, and you don't have to worry about those small little details that can get a little overwhelming at times.
And you have an upcoming trip. Let me talk about that.
We do. We have a trip. It's Pacific Northwest in California. So it's for those who have been looking at the West Coast, more like the Northern West Coast. And it's pretty much going down the whole coastline. And it's a trip that will be hosted by Mike and Kenna Johnson. This trip for a double is $2,999 for a double. It's 8 days. It's 10 meals, 6 breakfasts, and 4 dinners. And really, you're going to be seeing a variety of things. Seattle, Mount St. Helens Visitor Center, Portland, Columbia River Gorge, Portland Spirit Cruise. I mean, the list goes on. You go all the way down to California. But these trips are all planned for you. And so you don't have to worry about planning your next day's itinerary. Basically, all you have to do is show up. And that's something that really adds a lot of value to our tours. You're with people that you already have something in common with. They're all Bearcats, or they really support this institution. We try to have a university host on every trip. And so that's also another link for those individuals to stay connected with what's going on here at the school. People can hear about, you know, how our football team's doing, or they can hear about how the business school is doing. Those things are important because people that travel with the Touring Bearcats program want to stay engaged with the institution, but may live in New York or California, and this is a way for them to do that.
Well, and if our listeners of All Things Northwest want to contact you, Bob Mahusky, mm-hmm. our Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Giving here at Northwest, how do they contact you or get signed up for not just this trip, but future trips?
Sure. So they can definitely give us a call at 660-562-1248 and ask for myself, or they can email me at rmachov@nwmissouri.edu. And we'll definitely be sending out more information on these trips. But if they visit our website here at the university website, they will definitely find more information too on our website about these trips.
And do you have some possible future sites that you're looking at?
We do. We have a trip spotlight on Tuscany, which will be November 7th through the 15th of 2017. And then we also have a Colors of New England trip, will be September 30th through the October 7th. So those are two great trips, which have a lot of different places packed into it. And so just it amazes me how Colette, our travel provider, is able to take a series of days and really just pack everything into it. So that way you can get the value for those trips out of every dollar you're spending on it. But the most important thing is that you're traveling with people who all bleed green. They're once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat. So that's the thing that we really enjoy seeing.
Well, I bet you've had a memorable story or two, a moment or two on one of these trips that you say, wow, that really personifies Northwest Missouri State University.
Yeah. Well, I look back to our Spotlight on New York trip that we just wrapped up in May. There was about a group of 25 of us that went on that trip, and we had the opportunity to be on the Today Show in the background. And, you know, here's a 25 of us in the background with Bearcat, you know, shirts on, flags that are really promoting the institution. And so you look at one of our mentors, the promote pillar. I mean, we were doing it right there. I mean, the Today Show is on how many people's televisions every morning? So that's pretty cool. And we got so many tweets and people say, you know, I see Northwest on TV today. That's what we're about. And so, and people really enjoyed that. And at the end of the day, it was a memory that everyone walked away with truly, truly being proud of.
Well, that's a great story, and it shows what Bearcats are all about. Bob, thanks for being a Bearcat. Thanks for being Northwest Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Giving. Thanks for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Dr. Becky Albright, Maryville R2 Superintendent, and Bob Mahusky, Northwest's Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Gifts. Thanks, too, to our producer, Kayla Morgan, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCB Station Manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest talk about being a Bearcat, and we encourage you to join our students and all of us in being partners as we address five elements of being a Bearcat. Keep learning. We know you do that through listening to KXCB KRNW. That's the first part of being a Bearcat. Keep caring, keep connecting, practice civility, and show pride in Northwest and certainly public radio. Take good care. Keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski. Thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB KRNW, and public radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic. More information is available online at familyeyeclinic.net or at 660-582-5222. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by broadcast production major Kayla Morgan. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest. Thank you.